Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this morning, to and turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is the last message that I have on the membership, the body, which means I'm going to have to get busy and study something else this week. Either that or call Rick Warren, see if he's got any good sermons laying around that I can preach. And if he says no, he doesn't, I'll believe him. Amen. Psalm 139, and then I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hi. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I had mentioned during Sunday school that God is helping me put together a teaching on spiritual gifts. And I believe in spiritual gifts. One of them is called salvation. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a gift. And if you can show me in the Bible where God charges money or requires a work for anything that he does, if you can show me that, I will change every one of my doctrines. But I believe in the God that gives freely. Amen? I believe in the God that gives freely. And Bradley and I had a good conversation there on that wall ago on spiritual gifts. And that is in 1 Corinthians 12. I'll not be preaching on that this morning. But I'm sort of working on putting it together on a DVD on teaching, okay, to just teach people. And why am I doing that? Because there's a lot of junk out there that's being passed around as spiritual gifts, including a lot of fakery. You know what's interesting to me is that the Bible, and I'm just going to talk this morning, the Bible warns us about false prophets of the last days. And the Bible tells you that these false prophets are clouds without water. Okay? And a cloud without water, all it does is block the sun. That's all it's good for, blocking the sun. And it's interesting, I think it's in the book of Proverbs, Solomon gives us wisdom, and he says, he that boasteth of a false gift is like a cloud without water. And I want to tell you something. There are those who are boasting of a false gift. They act like, boy, they've really got something. And they like to do that because it makes them look spiritual. And I can tell you that a lot of stuff that goes on, and I would probably say even in here, even in this church, every now and then, there's things that we do to make ourselves look spiritual, but the truth of it is we're not, and it's a cover is what it is. And those are times when we ought to just repent and get the sin behind us and get stuff behind us and get back where we need to be with the Lord rather than try to cover up. Somebody say amen. I like for there to be some honesty in our church and in our lives, in our homes, in our families. And if everything's not all just good and happy and spiritual with you, it's okay to be that way. And God will bring you out of it just like you got into it. Somebody say amen. And so I want you to pray for me this week as I put that together. I'm going to try to work on it today and tomorrow. Try to get it recorded sometime this week with all the things that are going on. And let it be a blessing because you know some people that are pulled up into a spiritual trap. They're in a spiritual prison of false gifts, okay? And they've been told by their leaders that in order to show themselves spiritual, they have to do all this, they have to do all this and do this and do this and do this. And I'm going to tell you something. In order for you to be saved and be full of the Holy Ghost, God's not required one thing out of you. Amen. That's it. That's exactly right, Gary. That's it. And so anyway, and I say that in the context that we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 Did you know that hands don't put themselves onto the body? The Word does. The Bible does. The DNA does. You did not bring yourself to salvation. You did not save yourself. You're not the product of your own works of righteousness. You're the product of the grace of Almighty God, and that's all there is to it. And if you have a different idea than that, I'm going to try to preach it out of you. Okay? I'm going to try to preach it out of you. Because one of the things that just doesn't work well with me is a lot of pride. Can I hear you say amen? And I'm just kind of setting up the message this morning. And I'm just going to talk for a little bit, and we'll let God deal with us, and we'll move on. Psalm chapter 139, are you there? Say amen. Look at verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. And there's that, just underline that phrase, when I was made. When I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And I just want us to look just a couple more verses down, because I just really like what that says. And every now and then I just need something to, I need God to say something nice to me every now and then. How many of you are like that? Say amen. We need people every now and then to say something nice to us, and they never do when we always need it. Okay? And so if you find yourself in a position in life where you're just needing somebody to just be nice to you, and it ain't happening, get your Bible out. Amen? Get your Bible out. God will say all kinds of nice things to you. Amen? So the nice thing here is verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. What is the sum of all the thoughts that God has towards you? That's like asking what the last number is. Does anybody know what the last number is? There is no such thing. The last number does not exist. Numbers keep going and going and going and going and adding and adding and adding and adding. And God is like numbers in that God just keeps going and going and going, and he's, amen? Never has a beginning, never has an end, it just always is. And in verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And I don't know about you this morning, this is not a boast on Mike Hoggard, because it's by the grace of God. When I woke up this morning and sat up on the edge of the bed, I knew that God was still with me this morning. And that gave me hope, that gave me confidence, that gave me a little something to be able to get up and come to church this morning and to worship with you people this morning. Now I want you to take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you would, turn there please, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're dealing with membership, being part of the body, and what all that entails, and how. And God's just kind of, God kind of gave me some good things. I studied some things this week that kind of helped out a little bit. I kind of hinted at them last Sunday morning. And I'm just gonna share some word this with you this morning, and I'm not gonna beat you over the head with anything unless the Bible just jumps out and needs to deal with us about some things. But I just want you to think about your physical body that God has prepared for you, that God has made for you, and think about all the design of it. Think about the hand, I'm using my hands here. Think about things that are in our nature that just come automatic. Think about the hair that you have, or the skin that you have, and the eyes that you use, and the mouth, and just kind of go through the process of thinking about your body that God designed for you. It truly is an amazing thing. And so is the church. Amen. Think of the church that God designed, that God built. Churches do not build themselves. They're built upon the written word. The DNA of the church is the King James Bible. Say amen to that. The DNA, what determines the church, is the Bible. And I'll say this, when you change the DNA, you're changing what that person is. I'm reading a book right now written by a guy who is in favor of humans transforming themselves into better humans. And it's going to be done through changing man's DNA. He is an evolutionist. And he's saying that we now are like this close to having the power to making humans literally into immortals or gods through changing DNA. We have that, and he's in favor of that. And I will tell you that when they start changing the book that's written of how this body is, God's gonna come down. God will get involved. You cannot change the book. And I'll give you an example. Okay? Sterling, what they're thinking about doing is that they take the human DNA and they know parts of it that causes cancer. So they say, you know, like sharks don't get cancer. So here's what they're going to do. They're going to take this little piece of shark DNA and they're going to put it in you so that you will never get cancer. That means now that you're not all human. You're part animal and part human. That's an abomination. Amen. You've changed the creation of God into something it was not intended to be. And I want to tell you, the church, the DNA of the church is the written word of God. And when you change the Bible, you have changed the church. How many of you see that? Say amen. Has there been significant changes in churches and denominations and everything like that because they have changed what's in this book? You better believe it. So if you want to be how God intended for you to be, let it be according to this book. Somebody say amen. Let it be according to this book. Now I'm going to get off that and we're just going to talk about the body there for a minute. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to pray. And then we'll get into the teaching this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know what to say here. I don't know what to do. I don't know what course you want to take. Lord, I'm going to leave this up to you, and I'm going to let you figure it out and let you work your work, dear God. Lord, there's some things that you helped me with this week, and Lord, I'm eternally in your debt. God, I will never in heaven, Lord, pay off the debt, Lord, that I owe to you. And Father, Lord, I just thank you, dear God, that you've made me free. And Lord, I'll be your servant, dear God, until this life ends and the new one comes on. Lord, I'll be your servant. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for this book. And I thank you, dear God, for my family. I thank you for my life. I thank you for this body that you've given me. Lord, there's things about it I don't like. Lord, Father, but you made it that way and you designed it that way and you did so for a reason. And Lord, I believe that, and I thank you, Lord, for that. And I thank you for my wife and my children. Lord, the home body that we have. And I thank you, dear God, for what they mean to me. I thank you, dear God, Lord, for this church family and the membership, dear God, that we have. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless these people. I thank you, dear God, for all of those around the world, dear God, that are members of the body. And Lord, Father, I've had sweet fellowship with many of them, dear God, in a different place and different part of the world. And yet they're still members of the body of Christ. And Lord, how sweet it is, dear God, to fellowship with your people. Lord, what a blessing, dear God, that you have given us. And the thoughts, Lord, that you have to us, dear God, will just never, never, in a billion years, never get over, dear God, all the things and all the goodness, Lord, that you've given to us and the blessing that you are to us. Lord, I want to be a blessing this morning to these people. They have been a blessing to me. I want to be a blessing to my wife and to my children. Father, they've been a blessing to me. Lord, I want to be a blessing, dear God, to your kingdom because your people have been a blessing to me. And Lord, Father, just give us wisdom, give us knowledge, give us discernment, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So number one, the last two sermons I preached, number one, what does it take to be a member of the body of Christ? Well, your name must be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody say amen. Doesn't matter if it's written on the rolls here. Doesn't matter if it's written somewhere else. It is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And if that's the case, then you are a member of the body of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about the human body that we have. And then, you know, all the things that we preached last week. But then I want to get into this idea of who is the most special person in this church. Who is the most important, most special person inside, let's say, of the church body, or let's say the home body that you have, a husband and wife and children or whatever it is, who is the most important, most significant in there? And we're going to teach that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you're thinking, ha, my day's coming, you might be wrong on that. Okay? And what is the difference between people inside of a church? Let's get into the word this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. Are you there? Say amen. My Bible doesn't look, here it is, right here. I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay? After the teaching that Paul gives on spiritual gifts, he gives the reason for that. We pick it up in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members. Now he's getting you to think about your physical body. Your physical body. As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now let me tell you what I believe. I believe the unity of the body of believers of Jesus Christ. I believe in that unity. Somebody say amen. I've never met anybody who's ever had like a finger severed or an arm severed or had their leg cut off that after it being cut off, drug that thing around to keep with them all the time. I've never met anybody like that. Amen. Get with me here. You've never met anybody with a wooden leg or something like that carrying their old dead cut off leg around. We are all joined together. By the way, when my lungs take in air, the blood in my body takes the oxygen from those lungs and puts it where? Throughout the entire body. All the way down to my toes, all the way up to the top of my head. Every part of my body benefits from the air that's going in my lungs. Everybody see that so far? When my heart pumps blood, I have a system in my body where the body is delivering, watch this now, the blood from my heart to my lungs, to my organs, to my hands, to my feet, to the top of my head. Every part of my body receives, number one, of the same breath, and number two, of the same blood. You are not part of the body being refreshed or given life or whatever it is by a different spirit and different blood or a different gospel or a different way. In other words, if you say that you're born again, if you say that you're saved and you say, well, you know, I hope it all works out that I get to go to heaven when I die. If that is your core belief, you have to ask yourself, are you part of the same body receiving the same spirit and washed in the same blood and given life by the same blood? And if you're not, you're not members of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one spirit. Somebody say amen. One faith, one baptism. By the way, there's one Bible. Amen. You hear all these people talk about how, well, you know, I believe that all roads lead to God. You know what they're saying? That we can all be scattered members, not partaking of the same breath and the same blood, and yet be part of the same body. That's not how it is. Doesn't make sense that way. And so let's say that, who can I pick on today? Let's pick on Jimmy and Linda. No, I know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, pick on Jimmy and Linda. I'm not going to pick on you. I'm just going to say this, okay? Jimmy and Linda have been married now how long? 42 years. Hey, 42 years. Somebody say amen to that, okay? Some other man cannot just say, well, Jimmy and Linda's married, but I'm really part of their family and live somewhere. That's not right, is it? Some other woman can't say that either because they are not members of the same house. Amen? They don't eat the same food. They're not going to live in the same place. You kind of get where I'm going here. So if you're one of these that says, well, I'm just as good as any church member, and I'm going to go to heaven my own way, that's not right. We're all members of the same body. And by the way, we're all connected together, sometimes whether we want to be or not. The old saying is, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. Amen? You're stuck with your relatives. My mother is still my mother. My sister is still my sister, and I love her to death. And my cousins are still my cousins. And ain't nothing going to change that. I'm stuck with them. And the same thing applies. Watch this. Now, the same thing applies in the physical body. The same thing applies in a home. This is where we get into, here we go, for better or for worse. This is where we get into that. Because when you decide to marry somebody, you repeated a vow in front of a bunch of people that said, for better or for worse. Lisa and I have been married 25 years this year, next year. And I've been better, and I've been worse. And she recognized, and God has helped us over the years recognize, that she is as much a member of my body as I am hers. And I thank God that she has put up with me. And that's exactly how it is. She has put up with me. And the same thing for her. She has been better and she has been worse. She's been richer and she's been poorer. She's been sick and she's been healthy, and so have I. And when God puts a husband and a wife together, you see, I'm still old-fashioned. I think that's supposed to be for a long time. And I'm not saying that there are not biblical grounds for this and that and the other, but what I am saying is we live in a world where everybody just gives up too easily. Amen. Can I hear you say amen? And I'm going to tell you, just because you don't like something about your wife or you don't like something about your husband, that is not a reason for you. In fact, let me read a verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. Just because you're not unhappy with something about your wife does not give you the reason to go out and find you another one on the side. Amen? The same thing with you ladies. Just because you don't like something about you, of course you don't like something about your husband. Amen. Amen. Of course you don't like something about him. Okay? God made you different. Watch this now. God made you differently than your husband. You see what I'm doing up here? This is the left hand and this is the right hand. Did you know that in the body, one of these hands is going to be stronger than the other? How many of y'all know that? But that doesn't mean that this hand can just get along without this one. Doesn't mean that. If this is the husband, this is the help meet for him. Okay? And when I eat a Whopper, it takes both hands. Now, if I'm eating a White Castle slider, okay, you stop and think about it. Stop and think about how God designed this. In our homes, we are members one of another. That includes the husband, the wife, and the children. We are members one of another. And God ordains it to be that way. Can I hear you say amen? So you think about this. Adults, parents, just because you find out things about your kids, that doesn't mean they can't be your kids no more. And kids, just because you don't like something about your dad or your mom. And I know what it's like because I had a buddy of mine in school that I thought his parents were the coolest, neatest, most happy with it people that I've ever met in my life. And I'm going, how come I can't be their son? They're nice to me. Okay? I didn't see everything there was to see about them. But I belonged to Don Hoggard and Judy Hoggard. That's who I belonged to. I was a member of their body and a member of their family. And that's how God made it to be. And with them, no matter what. Can I hear you say amen? Let's put that here. Let's apply that here. And I'm going to show you something here in a minute, and I hope it's a blessing to you. We're all different in this room right here. We got some folks from different backgrounds, different ways of thinking, different ideas. Now, my assumption is that everybody in this room, including me, is here because of this. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay? Don't say it's because of me. It's because of this. Okay? And I'm not here because I really like Jim. I'm not here for that. I'm here because of this. This is what is making us be part of this body. Think about how it is when churches have about 5 or 6 or 7 different ones of these. It is confusion. It is confusion, and it's not right. You cannot have a unified body with Bibles that are not unified. You can't have it. Okay? So we're all here because of this. That means, in fact, let's read this. Let's read this with this idea in mind. Think about your home, your family, your marriage, your children, your parents. Think about each other here in this church. Think about it. So watch this. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. That's why I think when you baptize, you ought to go down and come back up. Amen? You will never see me sprinkle water on anybody's head and say, oh, you're baptized. We have one baptism here. Amen? One water baptism here. Whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay? We are not just one big gigantic eyeball. We are different parts of the same body. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So you ask yourself the question, is my foot a part of my body, even though it's not my heart? It's still part of my body. Okay? So think about that. Just because you're not so-and-so. And I want to tell you something. I want to help get rid of some. I don't think that it's here, but I've seen it and experienced before in the past. How people will get jealous of other people they think are Christians just because they can do this or that. And I'll tell you, it usually comes in the way of entertainments. Christian entertainment sets up people just because they're on stage and just because they can hold a microphone and sing the right way. Christian entertainment elevates these people. Amen? Elevates people as being more spiritual and more holy or this and that and the other just because they can do things with their voice. That's not it. Has nothing, and I've experienced that before, and I've seen that before. And I want to tell you something. I've watched a little bit of American Idol, and I've seen people who've decided that their whole self-worth was based upon whether or not they could sing and please that whoever that guy is on there and make him happy. And when he tells them they're no good and they stink, they need to go on to do something else, they act like they're ruined and like they're no good and this and that and the other. Like they have no accomplishment in life whatsoever just because they can't sing. And I'm going to tell you something. However God made you to be, that's who you are, and you ought to be happy with that. Amen? I've never had my foot say or act like that it wanted to be my hand. Amen? And my wife will tell you that when she needs her back scratched, she does not want me to use my foot. Especially in December. Hey, you see how this is? So, I'm a big mouth. I've had a big mouth since I was in school. And I don't have a problem getting up in front of everybody and talking and blabbing and this and that and the other. Okay? Now there's folks in this church cannot do that. Sterling here. He's asked me, don't ever ask me to teach Sunday school. Don't ask me to preach. Don't ask me to do this. He said, I'll lead in prayer. But don't, you know why? That's not him. That does not make him any less part of the body than it does me. And I'll tell you something else that I don't like. And some people just be mad at me if they want to. There are churches who will condemn you if you're not out knocking every door in the neighborhood, passing out every track and preaching on every street corner. They will condemn you if you're not out there doing it like they are. That is not everybody's job. That may not be how you were designed to work. There are churches who will look at this church and see what we're not doing and say, well, you're not doing this like we are. That's boasting. That's pride. And it's none of their business. The foot doesn't tell the hand what to do. And the hand doesn't tell the foot what to do. The head does. And who's the head? Jesus is the head, and he designed this hand for a purpose, and he designed that foot for a purpose. And you'll never, ever, I promise you, you'll never see me come in here walking in on my hands. Amen? You know one of the reasons why? Because my arms do not have the muscle buildup that this thigh does. This thigh can handle me standing and walk around all day long. My arms can't do it. See how it's, and who made it that way? God did. So keep that in mind. And by the way, let me just throw this in and give you a happy home. Okay? Ladies, don't ever think that your husband is going to clean it the way you do. God did not design them, by and large, that way. Every now and then, ladies, you might just get a dream husband that can clean a whole lot better than you can. Okay? Guys, don't expect that your wife thinks the way you think. Let me give you a little lesson, something that God really had to help me with and deal and really punch into me. Years ago, we had a school. And for years, my wife worked outside of the home in a place, and I didn't see her all day. I'd call her every now and then. I could call her and just talk for a little bit, but I didn't see her all day, and she would come home, and I would come home, and we'd be a little family, okay? God laid it on her heart to come and teach here in this school, okay? I want to tell you something. We almost busted up over that, and I'll tell you why. I realized that God did not make my wife the way he made me. And she would be in a classroom full of kids that figured out where all her buttons were. And she would come in my office and slam my door. And she would just unload. And I took that as an offense to me, that she was attacking me. And I figured, I've had enough of this. And I stood up to her one time, and you know what? God softened her heart right then, and I saw it in my office. God softened her heart, and she looked at me, and she said, anybody in this church can come in this office and do what I just did, and you never talk to them the way you just talked to me. And I went. You know what I realized? God designed my wife to have babies and to endure a lot of pain. But he did not design her to handle a lot of pressure. God did not design me, thank God, to have babies. And I don't deal well with pain. But I am emotionally stronger in handling pressure than she is. And God helped me, Wayne, with my role as husband. You know what I was expecting her to do, Sterling? I was expecting her to go in that class like I would, get control, and hang on to it, and not let it bother you. I was expecting her to do that. And when God pointed out to me that she was not designed nor made that way, you know what I did? I moved in to that classroom setting. I moved in there to put that control. And there was three women in there already, and they could not handle the abuse that they were getting from some of those kids. And I went in there and I stepped in and made a difference. And I want to tell you, if you want help, young people, listen to this, if you want help in your marriage, see, when you get married, you start finding out things. Amen? And you keep a suitcase handy because you find out things. Okay? And I think that's right. I don't think you ought to shack up for 3 or 4 years and then decide to get married. Amen? Okay? You find out things now that you've made a commitment to one another that you're going to love one another no matter what. Okay? And if every mature, and I'm saying people have been married 20, 30, 40 years, people would tell you that they've had times when they was looking at the suitcases going. We've all been there. But I'm to the point now, I would not want to lose my left hand. Losing my wife would be like losing my sight. Oh, I might be able to get by. It's just not as good. I wouldn't like it. How many of you know that? Say amen. And I will say this in a church setting. Everybody here is important. Just because you're not the mouth and the guy that makes the videos, that does not make me any more important to this place than it does you. And you know what I'm content? See, I try to be easy. I try to be nice to my church. I don't give you a lot of requirements. But if God's called you to pray, then you pray. If God's called you to come over here and make videos, then you make videos. If God's called you to come over here and clean the toilets once a week, then come over here and clean the toilets. If God's called you to do something this and that, if God's called you just to show up on Sunday morning, then you show up on Sunday morning. Now see how nice I am? If that's what God has called you to do as far as being a part of the body of this church, then you do that. And I'll never demand out of you what God has called me to do. I'll never demand that out of you because that would not be right. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. And young people, don't wish for different parents. Okay? Don't wish for different parents. You might think they're the stupidest ones that ever lived. But trust me, they're not, because I had the stupidest ones that ever lived. Okay? Until I got off of my own, then I realized just how smart they really were. Somebody say amen. Let me move on here, because I want to get to a part about cutting your arm off. And that's in there. Verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, then where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased who? Him. It's God's call what you are. It's not mine. It's not anybody else's. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Listen to that now. Listen to that. One member cannot say to the other, we don't need you. We don't need you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, I'm going to stop right here. Look at verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. My skin serves a role in the body, although it's sort of a minor role, but it serves a necessary function. It protects the inside from the outside, and the outside, you know, it protects all that. And besides that, who in here has ever seen an open, gaping wound? That's gross. Blah! Okay? Some kid gets hurt. I mean, it's just blood, and everybody's going, oh, ugh. You know what? You know what we like? We like it when the skin is all closed up and we don't have to see that. Amen? We don't like seeing blood and guts and things like, we don't like seeing that stuff. Thank God for skin. Amen? Okay? The skin on us is the comely part. And let's be honest, when we were looking at our mate, we were looking at the skin. She's got nice skin. Okay? That's what we were looking at first. But then you find out about their heart. And the heart is actually more necessary than anything. And the lungs and the liver and the kidneys and all the things that we don't want to see, those are the real important parts of our body. Are you getting that? Say amen. Okay? So anyway, just because you look good on the outside, that don't mean anything. Okay? Let's see here. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I'm going to show you this. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Now you stop and think about this. If you've ever had surgery, who in here has ever had surgery of any kind? Once they're done with the surgery, it takes days, sometimes weeks, to recover. And the whole body suffers after surgery. How many of y'all know that? Say amen. When I had surgery on my shoulder last winter, it was about this time last year I was getting cut on. Okay? Repair all this damage from the electrocution that happened inside my shoulder. And boy, I tell you, they repaired a bunch of it. And I'll never forget, 3 days after surgery, I was amazed. I could not even stay awake. And the reason being was, my whole body, listen to this now, my whole body was putting all that it had into healing this one area right here. And I didn't just come out of surgery going, everybody's going, how you doing? Well, I can't move my arm, but I feel great. That's not how it is it? I spent days, weeks at home. My whole body was recovering from this one thing. You know what that is? The whole body was helping this out right here. And that's how it ought to be. Amen. That's good preaching, isn't it? I don't care if you're the husband, the wife, the children. Listen to me, children. Your mom and dad, if your mom's not having a good day, I think everybody in the whole family ought to help out. Instead of cursing her for not being in a good mood when you walk in the door. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's how it ought to be. And the same way with the daddies. Daddy comes home. He's got the pressure of work. He don't know if he's going to keep his job or not. Kids are saying, Daddy, I need money. Daddy, I need this. Daddy, I need that. And Daddy ain't in a good mood every day. Instead of helping him out, because once he gets home, he's got chores to do at home. Instead of helping out, your kids are sitting there playing video games. They got junk and trash and dirty clothes piled up in their room that they won't go in there and clean up. You see, when you live in a house, that's your house. Amen. I don't care if you're the daddy, the mama, or the son, or the daughter. If that house, if you're staying in that house and you won't lift a finger in that house to clean up, you know what you hear all the time? They ain't my mess. But I didn't do that. Why do I have to clean it up? Because you're part of the body. And it's your house. It's your house. You help. You help do something. These older folk will tell you, listen to me, young people, these older folk will tell you that when they were growing up, mom and daddy didn't have a lot of money. And so when some of these older folk were 10, 11, 12 years old, amen, Sister Betty, they was outside working. Some of them were picking cotton. Some of them were carrying a sack that was bigger than they were, filling it up with cotton, just so the family would have enough money to eat. Am I telling the truth? And you complain when you have to take the stupid trash out, the little bitty trash bag out, because it interrupts the TV time. You're part of the body. You're there to help. Amen. I got a lot of adults saying amen. Now watch this. Okay? I want to show you how God designed us. This is good. Okay? Let's say Jim is at the job, and I've done this before. Okay? Cyril and I, we used to hang a lot of drywall, and you try to get in a hurry. And you pull a nail out of your pouch, and you put the nail up there, and you're holding the nail with your fingers. Okay? The actually driving of the nail is done with the strong arm. Okay? But it takes both of them. Okay? And so you put the nail up there to the board, and you pull your hammer out, and you got to set that nail in that drywall. And then as you let it go, you're reaching in your pocket to get another nail while you're hammering this one in. And sometimes you get in a roll, and you pull that nail out, and you, bam, and hit the end of your thumb. That hurts. But it doesn't hurt. If you do that at 8:30 in the morning, that hurts. It doesn't hurt near as bad as when you do it again at 2:30 in the afternoon. That hurts. Same thumb. Watch this. And everybody who's ever done something like this knows. You hit that thumb with that hammer. I mean, bam! And immediately, this thumb is drawn in close to the body, and this hand does this. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? I did something stupid the other day. My wife bought me a new belt, and it's a little bit too big, so I thought, well, I'll just poke a hole in it. So I pulled out my sharp pocket knife where the blade is easy to go in like that, And I was down in there, and I had that pocket knife drilling out a new hole in that belt. And sure enough, the blade went phoop, right in the end of my thumb. And immediately, I went like that. I didn't even think, oh, wow, that's going to hurt. It's going to bleed a lot. I think I shall do this. I didn't have to. Immediately, my other hand, my weak hand, listen to me, my weak hand went to protect the injured hand. My weak hand didn't say, if that would have been me, I would have never done that. Neither should you. Not in your marriage, not to your children, not to your parents, and not to your church members, and not to your pastor. Never should you do that. Needs help. It's injured. It's weak. Your body knows that if this thing doesn't get help, it's eventually going to infect the entire body. Amen? So this helps that. And that's the way it ought to be in here and in your home, is that this should always be willing to help that. Amen? And you know how else God designed, I don't know if I'm going to get to cutting your arm off, because I'm liking this too much. You know how God designed, this is so cool, how God designed us. How many of you have aches and pains in your bones every now and then? All the time. Okay? Watch this. Okay? Let's say that your wrist, you woke up one morning and your wrist is just hurting you. And see how I'm doing? I'm not even thinking about it. When I say my wrist hurts, I'm automatically acting out what I do when my wrist hurts. And what it is we do is that this hand comes over here and starts doing what? You know why? Because God built your brain with a drug manufacturing facility. It produces a chemical called endorphins, which is the first cousin to morphine. Okay? Now, when you go in the hospital and you're in pain, some of you can handle morphine, some can't. I can't. But morphine's my best friend in the hospital. I can handle him well. We get along real good. Give me the pump. Right? When I had hernia surgery right here, they gave me the pump. And by 6 o'clock the next morning, I hadn't slept all night, but I was doing pretty good. Okay? Your body actually, your brain has a little drug manufacturing warehouse in it. And what happens is you rub, and your body releases endorphins. And it gives you a little bit of feeling of pleasure, and it kind of takes the pain away. How many of y'all know that? And you don't have to know that to do that, do you? Because this helps this. And so when I can walk in and see my wife, and I can see her eyes, and I can tell that she's having a headache. She has, like me, she has a lot of things in her neck and stuff like that. And you'll see me walk up behind her. And I'll just start massaging. And I'll just start rubbing. You know what I'm doing? I'm helping. I don't walk in and say, what's wrong with you? I'm here to help. And my wife has helped me. And my children have helped me. And I've helped my children. And I'm here to help you. And if you're not having a good day when you come in on Sunday, I don't go, come on, this is the house of the Lord. Come on. But I'm here to help. And I'm here to listen. And maybe you don't need to come to me. That's fine. But we're all needing help, because we're all going to be injured. Amen? We're all going to be damaged. The enemy's going to try to shoot us. And when the enemy shoots and hits this hand shouldn't accuse this hand of, you're stupid. That would never happen to me. That's not how it's supposed to be. Now, next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach to you. And I was going to do it today, and it was not going to do it. And the Lord's not in it. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to show you the conditions upon which this hand must be removed, if necessary. Because sometimes things go wrong. And rather than this kill the entire body, there are certain conditions upon which this has got to go. So be here next Sunday, because that's what I'm, if the Lord lets me, that's what I'm going to preach. But today, right now, you just think about this. Think about this. Somebody helping you, or you helping somebody else that needs it. Somebody just may just need to talk and get it out. Let them talk. It's okay. Somebody may need a little help, need a little soothing. You soothe them. See, I think when you whip your kids, I think after a while, I think you ought to, same hand you used, I think you ought to soothe them. Because that's your body. That's your member. And God designed us. We instinctively know how to do this. We just don't act it out very well sometimes. Bow your head and close your eyes. I just, again, if you want to come down one of these altars, you may. But I want you to think about it. Young people, I want you to think about what you do at home. Okay? I want you to think about how you treat your mom and dad. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God for help in it. Husbands, think about your wives. She is the left hand in the body. She is not as strong as you are. But you would not want to go through life without a hand. And for better or for worse, she's yours. Wives, same way. I know, ladies, that you've probably been so mad at him. I mean, you could kill him. But you don't want to go through life without him. That's your body. That's your member. Church people the same way. We wouldn't want to, I wouldn't want to get along without you guys. And I hope and pray. I hope and pray every day that this church doesn't move on without me. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, Father, this is a message of unity. Not necessarily uniformity, because we realize, God, that you have made us all different, and yet we are nourished by the same Spirit, that is the Bible, and the same blood. And that's what unites us all together. And so, Father, dear God, we ask, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to be there for one another. Help us to not be envious of one another. Help us, dear God, to realize, Lord, just how intricately we are linked together. Help us not to despise that. Thank you, dear God, Lord, for showing us this. And help our marriages with it. Help our marriages. Help our homes, Father, with it. Help our church with it. Please. Help me with it, God. And Lord, Father, just help us to be better than what we used to be. More caring, more loving. Help us in all these areas, God. Bless this message. Bless these people, dear God. I thank you for them. And we love you. We ask, dear God, Lord, that you deal with hearts and help people today. And we say this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You know, God showed me something while I was praying. Stand to your feet. I'm done, but God showed me something while I was praying. What is right now the condition according to Ezekiel 37 of Israel. They were bone. They were dead, but they were what? Bones scattered. Isn't that something? And what is God's purpose and intention to do with them? To leave them scattered and give them life? The foot bone connected to the ankle bone. That's what I was thinking while I was praying. And I'm going, wow, that is profound, man. God joined them all together so that they all became one body and stood. And then that's beautiful. Amen. I love it. I love it. God bless you this morning. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.